Do you know whatever happened to Michael Jackson? Where is he? Never hear about him anymore. A few weeks ago, that's all you heard about. Now it's the boss. The boss, enjoy it in a hurry, because nobody will know who you are in just a few weeks. Because this old world, are you listening? This old world is trying to find something new. But she's making a fatal mistake in the place where she seeks something new. The office of the scribe in the Bible was created by Ezra. The purpose of the office of the scribe was for the teaching and the interpreting of God's Word. The Lord Jesus tells us here that the office of the scribe was to give us things new and old. Now I want you to notice something here very, very carefully. It does not say the office of the scribe was to give us things new and things old. Didn't say that. Didn't say that the scribe was to take the Word of God and give us from the Word of God things new and things old. It said, give us things new and old. What does it mean? It meant that each thing the scribe gave them was both new and old. You say, preacher, how could something be new and old too? Well, if you listen carefully, I'm going to explain it to you. Now, what I want you to get now is this. God is not saying that His Word is, from the Word, we get some truths that are old and some truths that are new. He's not saying that the scribe gave them from the law of God things old and things new and things old. No, He's saying God gave them things, each one which is both new and old. Let me illustrate. Here's an old tree. Now that old tree has on it new blossoms and brings forth new fruit. Now the blossoms are as much a part of that tree as the trunk is. The trunk is old and the blossoms are new. The trunk is old, but the fruit is new. You point to the tree, you're pointing to the trunk and the limbs and the blossoms or the fruit, you're pointing to it. And you're pointing to something new and something old. I mean, you're pointing to something new and old. Not two things, but one thing. The tree is both new and old. Now, I'm going to say make nine statements. I want you to hear them very, very carefully. Statement number one, you destroy the old and you won't have the new. Destroy the branches and destroy the trunk and you won't have the blossoms. And you won't have the fruit. You've got to keep the old in order to get the new. Statement number two, the old is the maker of the new. The old made the blossoms. The old made the fruit. The old is the maker of the new. Statement number three, you do not explore, and this is so vital, you do not explore the new looking for new. You never get new from the new. You get new from the old. Are you with me now? You don't get the new from the new. You get the new from the old. You destroy the old, you won't have the new. Statement number four. Explore the old. That's where the new is. Don't leave me now. Explore the old. That's where the new is. Statement number five. The new cannot make new. Statement number six, don't look for the new. Statement number seven, look in the old for the new. You see, you take the old and you look in the old, and the old is the factory that makes the new. New does not make new. You seek for new all your life, you'll never find it. But you seek for old all your life, and you will find the new. And as I said a while ago, the old is the factory for making the new. Let me illustrate. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. They sang that to you when they had to prop your head up with a pillow. And now that you're older, they sing it to you that you got to prop your head up again with a pillow. I mean, same old thing. And you know what they're going to do? Candles, and blow the candles out, and you blew them all out. Goody, goody, goody. When you had little breath as a kid and emphysema as an adult, you blew them all out. But you do the same thing. Why? Because I don't care how many times you have a candle with a cake with candles on it or candles with a cake under it. I don't care how many times you have the cake and the candles and how many times you say, happy birthday to you. And you stand there and light flare. A surprise. Oh, you're lying through your teeth. It's not a surprise at all. But it always is. And there's always something new in the old. What you do? Next time you give your child a birthday or you have a birthday party for your wife, your husband, or your friend, sing, oh, I come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee. And see how it goes over. It's something new. That's what this old sin-cursed world is doing. We're trying to find something new. We don't find anything new. We ought to have enough sense to get back to that which is old, because the old is the maker of things that are new. Cindy was about 15, I think. I gave her a birthday party. I rented a limousine, seated about 15 people, these big long boogers. I mean, a real long thing. And I rented a limousine. And Cindy didn't know about it. I got about 13 girls. And we got in the limousine and went by to get Cindy after school, I think it was, and picked her up. And drove her over here to this revolving restaurant in Chicago, up on the top of the Holiday Inn there, the Pinnacle Restaurant. And we had a birthday party on the way in the car. In the limousine. And I was dressed up, by the way, like a chauffeur. Had rented me a chauffeur's uniform. Had me a cap with a bill on it and a uniform. And I drove and got out of the car and escorted them up to the Pinnacle and stood outside the door like this as the chauffeur while they were eating. Didn't know it was right beside the coat room. And some lady came up and gave me her coat to hang up. I hung it up. She gave me a quarter. I kept the quarter. And she thought I was the coat hanger upper. And but you know, it's the same. We sang the same thing. Happy birthday to you. Had a cake and blew out the candles. You see, you get the new from the old. You seek for the new all your life. You'll never find the new. You just keep on seeking. But the new doesn't make new. The old makes new. And new excitement springs from the old. Illustration. A little baby. Just a few weeks old. You tickle him under the chin, trying to get a smile. I have worked by the hour to get smiles from my grandkids. And then they'll smile. And then somebody says they've got gas on their stomach. That's why they made that face. No. They're smiling because they look at me and love my face. That's what it, but it's the same thing. I don't care. You look at them, you... Been doing it ever since Cain and Abel in the Garden of Eden. Listen, the old things are the things that bring forth the new. That's why this old world's so sick and sad. Give us Michael Jackson! And in a few weeks he's gone. Give us the boss! And after a while the boss will be gone. What you ought to say is give us Jesus! The old will bring forth the new. Every day with Michael Jackson is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Michael Jackson, I love him. Who's old Mike? I bet your quarters are not nice to do that. But I guarantee you that down there at that hell hole Friday night, I guarantee you, nobody thought about Michael Jackson. He's forgotten. Why? The boss has come. I guarantee you, brother, you latch onto that which never dies, and you latch onto that which is old as eternity itself. And I guarantee you, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Oh, I could get you. Oh, I'm bored with life. I'll tell you why you're bored with life. You're trying to find the new by looking at the new. But new does not make new. Look at the old. The old makes the new. You know, I was thinking this morning about friendship. We've been together 26 years. I was thinking this morning about some fellows that with a fellowship with this morning a little bit and laughed a little bit, been together all these years. But you know, there's always something new about it. I never get tired of you guys walking with me down the alley, these army of Barney Fifes I have that walk with me down the alley. I told him the other day that I got some threats on my life over these lies that the press told about the blind fellow we supposedly expelled from the church. You know, all the lies they told. And I got some threats on my life, and I told the guards about it. And Bill Waddell said, he's chief of police out in Griffith, by the way. And Bill Waddell said, I'm quitting. This could get dangerous. Now, but I was thinking this morning, we walked down the same alley together, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, never grows old. True friendship is an old thing that brings forth new thrills. There's always a new hue on a friendship. There's always something new about a friendship. It's not always the same. But a fellow's got to have new friends, and have a pastor's got to have a new church every few years, and people got to change churches every few years, and folks have to change friends, and they got to see new faces and so forth. You won't find it that way. Listen, there's a sweet and blessed newness about the old friends and the old friendship. And there's a new hue always that is found in looking at the old. You know, once when I was a kid, this all we had was the King James Bible. That's all we had. We didn't know then the Bible wasn't the Word of God. We hadn't been to college yet. We hadn't met a theologian, glory to God. And we didn't know the Bible, but the King James Bible. And by the way, some of you preachers this morning who are visiting here, and just in case you're a little disturbed about this, you thought the King James Bible was the Word of God too until you left Mama's. Yeah, it was until you got in the hands of a theologian, you thought you had the Word of God. But we had the King. That's all we had. That's all we had. But somebody brought a new one out. Let's look for some new truth. If that's the case, why did you have to bring another new one out later? So you got the second new one out. I mean, you got God speed and good speed and devil speed and revised version and perversion and revised perversion and it keep on coming. Why? Because the old sin cursed world, and even the tragedy is that God's people are trying to find the new from the new. You find the new from the old. That's where you find the new. But we're continuing. You know, take this old book, for example. 26 years I've been here on this corner preaching. I'll be honest with you. Same book, same one. This Revised Standard Version I've been preaching from all these years. Smile. Try it. You might like it. But here it is. All these years. I'll be honest with you. I'm thinking about having Sunday afternoon service now and third Friday night service. I'm going to have to get all the truths in that I want you to get. And the honest truth is, I'm getting more new from this old book than I ever got in my life. I'm in 26 years, and I'll guarantee you, you just come here week after week after week, and we'll take the same old book, don't need a new one, and we'll get new truths and glean new thoughts from the old book. Why? Because here is the maker of the new. The old is the maker of the new. The new cannot make new. For 40 years I've dwelt in this book. 40 blessed years. I'm gleaning more nuggets from its pages now than I have ever in my life. I've been reading this Bible since I was a child, and Mama read it to me before I knew how to read. But I've been studying it carefully, and I've been living in it now for 40 years. But blessed be God, this old book gives me more great truths, and I shout over more things I learn from the old book. Why? Because the old brings forth the new. We got too many preachers these days trying to find a bunch of new stuff. I was out in Southern California preaching at a Sunday school convention and had four sermons that day starting about 6 o'clock and going on through life rates. And I brought the closing message. Preacher number one spoke on new methods for a new day. Speaker number two spoke on new literature for a new day. Speaker number three spoke on new ideas for a new day. I spoke on ditch all those new things and get back to the old things. Seek ye the old paths. And I guarantee you, The fellow that just takes the old King James Bible and preaches from it will stay fresher than the fellow that's always trying to get something new to get the new from. Because you won't find the new in the new, you find the new in the old. The old is the factory that makes the new. The old is the place that turns out the new. The old is the new maker. And if you want to get the new, just get Mama's Bible down and get on your face and read it and study it and live in it. I'll guarantee you the Holy Spirit will shine new light on it and new hues on it every day of your life. It's an exciting. It's an adventure. It's an adventure. Why? Because the old makes the new, and that's where you get the new ideas. I'm not looking for a new Bible. I'm looking for new truth in the old Bible. Think about this for a minute. For over 52 weeks, I taught the Holy Spirit here. I think about 60 weeks I taught on the Holy Spirit. I mean, every Wednesday night, for about 60 weeks, I taught on the Holy Spirit. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not kidding. I could still be teaching on the Holy Spirit, and I had to force myself to quit. For every time I opened the door to a new room, I found another door to a new exciting room. And inside that door and that room, I found another door to a new room. And inside that one, I found another door to another room. And I wanted to keep on. I taught for over a year, over 52 weeks, I taught on prayer. And every time I taught lesson on prayer, I found two or three lessons I wanted to teach on prayer. And every time I opened up a new truth, another came. And opened up that truth and two more came. Opened up that truth and two more came. Why? Because this book is inexhaustible. That's why. And if you want to live an exciting life, a life that's not boring, a life that's exciting and thrilling, get back in the old book and you'll find God will give you new truths day by day. I'm not talking about a 5-minute reading before you go to bed at night. I'm talking about 30 minutes a day when you read it, or for an hour a day when you read it and love it and examine it and say, God, give me truth. And from this old, God will unlock His coffers of new. I started preaching here 2 years ago this summer. In June, I preached a sermon on the love of God. Didn't intend to preach another. But I couldn't stop. The next Sunday, I preached on the love of God. Didn't intend to preach another. Next Sunday, I preached another. It's 15 consecutive Sundays I preached on the love of God. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not kidding you. I believe I could preach every Sunday morning from now to the time that God calls me home on nothing but the love of God. And I'll guarantee you, I believe I'd give you something fresh every Sunday morning. Look in the Bible. Thy mercies are new every morning. Then I know I could preach on the mercies of God every morning and give you something new because God's mercies are new. But God is old, and from the old we get the new, and from the mighty arm of God that always was, every morning we get something new. You don't have to be bored with life. You don't have to wish to try to find something new. You look where the old is, and the old is gushing forth with springs of new water and living water all the time. Take soul winning, for example. I'm so sick and tired of preachers quitting soul winning, I don't know what to do. I'm so tired of preachers stopping their bus routes and trotting out to California to learn how to not give an invitation. Learn from some neo-evangelicals how not to give an invitation and how not to be evangelistic and take the word Baptist off your church and the word pastor off your title. And have folks that want to get saved meet you in the third room down here, down the aisle somewhere in case they want to get saved. What America needs is to get back to the old. I'm talking about mourner's bench. I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about altar call. I'm talking about conversions and the new birth and regeneration. I'm talking about Mama's old Bible, Mama's old prayer closet, Mama's old faith in God. Faith of our fathers living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Answers preaching. Soul winning. Soul winning. It's always something new. I've been winning souls now all these many years, and I'll tell you, Doc, it's just, nobody ever gets saved. They get saved the same way, but God gives you so many sweet. I told the teachers and officers this last Wednesday night. I was down in Fort Worth, Texas. Hadn't been there for years. Been all around there, but not in the city. Recently, last Monday night. Pastor told me before I left Tuesday, he said Monday night after the service, one of the choir members came to him after service, a lady, and she came to him and said, Pastor, she said, when that fellow walked up in the pulpit, when I walk up, I always try to speak to the choir. But how are you tonight? And I walked up and I said howdy to the choir members that were close enough where they could hear me. And I turned, and this lady who came to the pastor after the service, he told me Tuesday, he said, she said, Pastor, she said, when I saw that man's face, I jumped 2 feet. Well, that didn't impress me a great deal. And she said but the pastor said, why? She said, Pastor, she said, 28 years ago, my husband and I were in a car wreck. She said, a man came by and stopped his car and got out, and my husband was in bad shape. And that man ministered to my husband. I never knew who he was. He never told us his name. But he ministered to my husband, and there he held my husband's head in his arm and won my husband to Jesus Christ. My husband got saved, and she said, 2 days later, my husband died. And she said, I wanted to thank that man. I wanted to see him, but I didn't know who he was. And said, the night when Dr. Howells came up and spoke to the choir, I looked and I said, that's the face. Boy, that blessed me to think that he still recognized my face after 28 years. I feared, laugh, folks, you might like it. But I tell you, she said, that's the man. That's the man. I never got his name, never knew who he was. But she said, now that's the man. You think I didn't have a shouting time when I heard about that? 28, I remember it like yesterday. I can see the car as it turned over on its side beside the road. Now I got out of my car, went down the ditch, and held that man's head in my arm. I'm simply saying, soul winning is as old as Daniel 12:3 and older, but it's always new. You get something new and fresh in it. I was there in the same meeting Monday night after the service in Fort Worth, Texas. A couple came by. They said, we don't want you to sign our Bible like the other folks. We want to tell you, you don't look as young as you did 27 years ago. And I said, you don't either. I don't know who you are, but you don't either. And they said, you don't look as young as you did when you preached that revival at Riverside Trinity Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas, under a big tabernacle built just for the revival. Harold Flores, that was a pastor. I said, were you there? And they said, yes. They said, remember the night you preached and it was so cold, only 10 people showed up because a cold wave came. Only 10 people showed up. I said, I sure do. But they built a big old 1,000-seat tabernacle. And a cold spell came in. Oh, it was cold as blue blazes. And streets were icy and nobody much showed up because they couldn't get there. Only 10 people in that 1,000-seat tabernacle had no heat. So somebody brought a gasoline heater and stuck it about two-thirds, right back there in the middle, about two-thirds from the back toward the back. And the 10 people didn't. They sat down around the heater. I was up here on the platform. They sat down around the heater, waving their hands over the heater like that. Nobody looked at me. I went ahead and preached just like our house was full. Preached on to hell and back. And this couple said, we were there that night. We were two of those 10 people there over that heater. 15 years passed. I was up in Birmingham, Michigan, preaching in an afternoon service for a state convention. A tall, good-looking young man stood up and he said, I've asked if I could introduce Dr. Hiles to the crowd today. Dr. Hiles doesn't know this, but he won me to Jesus. I was saved under his ministry. Oh, I looked up to see what the deal was. He said, he won't know this story, but he said, years ago, I went to hear him preach in Fort Worth, Texas, and it was so cold and the ice was so bad nobody could get there much, and only 10 people showed up. He said, I was one of the 10. I had a heater back in the back, and I was back there warming myself. Never looked up to see him, but he said he preached on hell that night. And the fact that that man kept on preaching, he was freezing to death up there, and I was, boy. I preached on hell to keep myself warm. And he said I thought that man's up there preaching by himself, nobody paying any attention to him. And he said, that's a faithful man of God. And he said, Dr. Howells, that night I got saved. He said, you didn't know it because I didn't walk the aisle. It's too cold. I didn't walk the aisle. But he said, I got saved. And I want to thank you for being faithful to preach when nobody's listening to you and 10 people weren't gathering around the stove. Wait a minute. That couple Monday night said, Dr. Howells, we were 2 of the 10. That accounts for 3 already. The preacher up in Michigan and this couple. And they said, we came that night and a lost lady had promised to come. And she came with us. We're all back there around the stove, gathered around the stove, keeping warm. I said, you preached on hell, but that lady never looked at you, but she said she never forgot about that sermon on hell. In fact, something happened to her that night, and every time she saw a fire, she'd just start trembling like that, and finally she got saved. And they said, we've come to tell you that A couple of weeks ago, she passed away. We want to thank you for being faithful. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd get back to the old things, such as soul winning and spreading the gospel of Christ and the Word of God, you'd be amazed what a newness of life it'd bring to you all the time. I drove the other day out here in Munster, and I drove by a house and looked up, and I remembered something sweet that happened in that house. I was out soul winning years ago, and I said, "Anybody home?" And the fellow said, I'm under here." I saw 2 feet sticking out from under a car like that, and he was on one of those rollers under the car looking up at the bottom. And he said, "I'll be right out." I said, "Never mind, I'll be right under." There's another roller right beside it. I had on a dark suit, a navy blue suit. I got on a roller and rolled under there, on the back like that, and got under the car. And he said, I said, "This is a Howell's mechanic shop. Need any help?" He said, "What do you think's wrong with it?" And I said, "Looks like to me you need a general overhauling." He looked over at me and he said, he saw my suit and he said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond." He laughed and laughed, both of us on our back underneath the car looking up at whatever's under there. And both of us laughed and he laughed. And I got my testament out and held it about like that and told him how to be saved. And underneath the car, he prayed the sinner's prayer and came to Christ. And he prayed this prayer, "Dear God, I'm coming for a general overhauling." And he got saved. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, soul winning. Same old story? Yeah. Same old scripture? Yeah. Same old truths? Yeah! But something new all the time and something exciting. I was out in Hesfield one day, soul winning, and I knocked on the door, and the fellow said, "I'm up here!" Looked up in the tree right over the porch. He was up there in the tree, and he was working in the tree. He said, "I'll be right down." I said, "Never mind, I'll come right up." And I went up and climbed up in the tree and turned to Luke 19, taught him about Zacchaeus who was up the tree and got saved up the tree. And this man, we prayed the sinner's prayer. I didn't close my eyes. I was ready to fall out of the tree, but we prayed the sinner's prayer. I feel sorry for you people. Got to have something new all the time. Got to have some new friends. Got to have a new house. Got to have a new car. Got to have a new thrill. Got to have a new hero. Got to have a new excitement. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God gives you things new and old. He gives you the old, and from the old He brings forth the new. The old Word of God with new, fresh truth every morning. The old hand of God with new, fresh mercies every morning. The old message of God with new, fresh, exciting ways of soul winning all the time. The other day I was preaching up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for Dan Parr's brother. Dan Parr was the pastor who had the cancer and stood right here with oxygen hooked up with 105 degrees fever and preached for us at pastor school and then also on a Sunday morning at First Baptist Church. He died. His wife asked if I'd preach the funeral. And I said I would. So I was preaching. The funeral was on Monday morning at 11. But I was preaching in Saginaw, Michigan Monday night. But I had to fly to Philadelphia and be driven an hour's drive to the north side of Philadelphia, preach a funeral, run back to the airport, catch a plane, fly to Cleveland, Ohio, then change planes in Cleveland, and fly to Saginaw, Michigan. And we couldn't get there till 6 o'clock at night, barely in time to rush right to the church and preach. But the flights from Cleveland to Saginaw were booked solid. The flight was booked solid. Couldn't get on it. But I thought, I prayed, "God, let me on that flight. Let me on that flight." Well, I flew to Philadelphia, rushed out, preached a funeral, rushed back to the airport, didn't even go to the cemetery, rushed to the airport, called a plane to Cleveland, all the way, "God, give me a flight, get me on that flight." I got to Cleveland, Ohio. They said, "No seats available on the flight." I said, "Put me on the wait list." They did. And time came, just a few minutes before the flight, the lady called, Mr. Jack Hiles. I walked up the desk and she said, "We have one seat left, one seat." I got on there, sat down, opened my Bible, started to read it, and I was thanking God for letting me on getting that one seat that was available. And then somebody came on the airplane and said, "Mr. Jack Hiles?" I said, "Yes." Said, "The person that had that seat just showed up. You have to get off the plane." I said, "I'm not getting off the plane." And the steward said, "But you've got to get off the plane." I said, "I'm preaching tonight in Saginaw, and I'm going to preach tonight, and I'm going on this plane. If I've got to go in the baggage compartment, I'm not getting off this plane." He said, "I represent United Airlines, and I am ordering you off this plane." I said, "I represent God, and I'm not getting off this plane." He grabbed me with the arm, and by the time he grabbed me with the arm, I turned around, and I said, "Folks," I pulled out 2 20s and a 10. And I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention?" Ray Newton never saw anything like this on his flights. "May I have your attention?" I said, "If anybody will wait for the next flight, leaves in 2 or 3 hours, I'm preaching in Saginaw tonight. If anybody waits for the next flight, I'll give you $50. One lady back here on my right, she jumped up. I'll take it. I can buy me a new dress for that. She jumped up. She said, my mama's at the airport. I'll get to stay and have a meal with her and buy me a new dress. She jumped up, took the 50 and took off, and I sat down in her seat. I'm not through yet. I sat down in her seat. And I worked a while. We were coming into land in Saginaw. And I thought I'd better meet the fellow beside me. I was getting the sermon all ready for the night. I reached over and I said, sir, I'm Jack Hiles. He said, I'm glad to see you. Hiles, my name is so-and-so. And I said, boy, I better get on this plane. I said, I had to talk a lady beside you. I gave her $50 to get off, and she took $50. That's how I got the seat. He looked at me and said, yes, I know. That's my wife. I broke up a happy home. $50. And we laughed and laughed and laughed. And I opened my Bible and told him about Jesus, and he got saved. I could stand here this morning, probably I'm going to, I could stand here half the afternoon, and I could tell you the sweet, new, fresh things. You don't have to seek the new all the time. The old brings forth the new. I'm talking about the old truth of the Word of God. There comes forth rivers of living water, fresh water all the time. It's an artesian well. And but the Bible says that these scribes, they bring forth the new things and old things, or new and old things. Not new things and old things, but new and old things. The tree and the fruit, the tree and the blossom. I was thinking about preaching. All these years I've been preaching here. I don't know how you feel about it, but to me it's always fresh and new and exciting, and I love it. And I thought a while ago, as I was preparing my heart, I thought a while ago how those many years I heard Dr. John Rice preach, and I heard him preach the same sermons over and over and over and over again, but every one was new and fresh. And there was always something sweet, and from the old trunk there came forth new blossoms. Maybe he'd cry at a different place at a sermon, or maybe he'd dwell a little longer at one place, or maybe I could feel the burden he carried a little more at a different place. It was always new. The old truths bring forth new blessings, and the old book brings forth new truths. And the old friends, if they're real friends and you're a real friend, there's always something new and fresh about the fellowship. All these years we've been here, I was thinking of the night when the fellows went, ah, and we're hearing them, ah. I was thinking, you know, it's amazing. Even the humor is new. Jokes are the same, but the humor is new. And God makes it that way. It's a wonderful life. I'm trying to brag on Jesus this morning. I'm trying to brag on the Christian life. I'm trying to tell you that if you want something new all the time, I mean something new and fresh, you get it in the old things. The old is the factory for the new. I was on my knees praying this last week. And then I got off my knees for a while, and I walked and prayed. And then I walked up down the hallway of the motel and prayed. And then I went outside and walked around the motel and prayed. And then I walked down the sidewalk a couple of blocks, and I prayed. And I walked back, and I prayed. And I guess I must have spent 45 minutes just praying and begging God. And I got back to my room, and I said to the Lord, I wish folks knew how wonderful you are. I wish folks knew how sweet prayer can be. Now, if you had looked at me, you wouldn't have thought I was having much fun. You go on a ball game, you'd have thought they're having more fun. Oh, but they weren't. I was talking with my Savior, and I was fellowshipping with Him. And I never have an audience with Him, but what, there's something fresh and sweet and new about it. I wish you knew what I'm talking about. The Lord Jesus came to these people and said, do you want to know how to be happy? He said, you want to know how to not be bored with life? You want to know how you can always have something fresh and new? He said, you don't get it from the new things. You get it from the new and old things. For the old things bring forth the new. That's one reason why it doesn't take much to make me happy. I enjoy the old things. I enjoy doing what I've always done. I enjoy routine and schedule. You know why? because from those old things that you do that are right and good to do, from those old things there's always something new and fresh and exciting and sweet. I hadn't thought of this in years. It's in one of my books. I'll close with this. I was down near Houston, Texas a couple years ago. In fact, I was driving down a certain street there, looked over and saw the Vagabond Motel, and I just looked at the motel and laughed and laughed and laughed, just looked at the motel. You know why? Because many years ago, I was staying at that very motel. I guess 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago more, I was staying at that motel, finished the morning service, went back to the motel, but the door was open in my room. And I said, "Who's in there?" And the lady said, "It's me." I said, "What in the world are you doing in my room?" She said, "I'm the maid." I said, "Look, I got to come in and get something, and I'll leave and let you clean it up." I walked in. I couldn't see her. "I where are you?" She said, "In the bathtub." "In the bathtub?" "Yeah. I'm cleaning it out." She was fully clothed. She was in the bathtub, in the tub, cleaning out the ring I'd made that morning around the tub. I started to leave. And I asked her, I said, "Say, could I ask you a question?" Door was wide open. I said, "You know, if you died, you'd go to heaven?" She said, "Lord have mercy, no." I said, "Would you like to know?" She said, "I think so." I sat down. That's funny, isn't it? I sat down and told her about Jesus. And she got saved out there in the bathtub. And I'd left the drive away, and I laughed, and I laughed. And I said, "I know I'm the only preacher alive ever won a woman to Christ in the bathtub. I think that's so funny." And drove back a quarter of a century later, I guess, and drove by that hotel and looked at it and laughed and laughed and laughed. You know why I laughed so much? You know why? Because I spent my life in the old. And from the old has come forth the new. Sing it. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than... You reckon Friday night they sang, "Every day with the boss is sweeter than the day before. Every day with the boss I'm drunker than I was before." No, they can't sing that. You go to the old. I'm talking about the old institution called the church. Not the new institution called the disco. You don't go to the new institution seeking something new. You go to the old institution seeking something new. You don't go to the new book seeking something new. You go to the old book seeking something new. Because the old is the factory for the new. You never go to the new to get the new, because the new can't produce new. The new does not reproduce. The new does not reproduce. So you go to the new, you get one thing new, and that's all the new you'll get. And you got to go to something else that's new to get that one new. But you just go to the old and you get the factory that makes the new all the time. And from whence comes fresh blessings every morning. What I've told you this morning could transform the whole world if the whole world would listen to it and follow it and obey it. Father, thank you for the old, old book.